It's 8 o'clock, and yes, you know what time it is. Time for Business Off Air here on Classic FM 97.3. Taiwo joining me as usual every Monday morning, and you know, we always have a guest. Good morning.
Good morning, Bukola. Good morning, Lagos.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How was your weekend?
It wasn't bad, and yours?
Great, great. Good. Try to rest a bit.
All right, so we're here again with another interesting guest.
Yes, yes, yes.
So what angle are we taking it from this morning?
It's called transaction informatics.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll let the guest explain what he means, but I think it's something to do with data, insights, and helping you, you know, manage your money a bit better in itself. But in our usual tradition, we'll let our guest introduce himself.
Good morning, Lagos. Good morning, Bukola. Good morning, Taiwo. Thanks for having me. My name is J.R. Kanu. I am the general manager and founder of Reach Technologies. We are a, yes, transaction informatics company.
Yeah.
And that means that we look at transactions to get the most information and analysis out of them. This means everything from how you spend, how you earn, to how you should be spending and how you could be earning, as well as your interaction with your merchants and how maybe if they knew you a little bit better, it might mean more money in your pocket and more happiness for them because you would be a loyal customer. So yes, it is transaction informatics, Taiwo.
Always interesting. Something new every day.
Yes, 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 yes. So I think you just really pretty much talked about what you do at Reach.
Yes.
You've been in existence for how long?
Reach was founded at the CAC in 2016, in September of 2016.
Okay.
What we do, it took us a little bit of time to figure out who we were going to be, as some startups take time to figure things out. So we started off being a purely savings app, back in the old days of being a savings app. And we started getting a lot of questions about how should I be saving money if you guys tell me that like there's no money to save, or like I can't save any money because I've spent all my money. So we then turned into this app that help people track their expenses and their income. So looking at using the SMS alerts on people's phones, you can pretty quickly help them understand where the money has gone, where it's coming from. And that's how Reach works, right? It works by looking at the SMS alerts that you get. If you don't get SMS alerts, you can put those in manually. But for most people in the country, and actually we are now in Kenya and in Ghana as well, for most people, they get SMS alerts. And that way, that's how we got started helping them figure things out.
So you can tell me if I'm spendthrift, I'm quite frugal with my spendings. Is it basically?
So it's not an accusatory app.
It doesn't point fingers at like, yeah, I got you this month.
It's an advisory app.
No,
right?
No,
so
no.
It says things like, you hit your budget this week, so yay, and it really does. So we have this chatbot in there, and for a while, my dad who's like super cool and very sweet himself, he thought that our chatbot was a real person, so he kept wanting to like come to the office and say hi because the chatbot was so nice to him.
Let me guess, she's female. Yes.
Because you know, guys. Our chatbot will tell you things like, "Hey, you've made your goal this week. You did not spend over your budget," or "Oh, you didn't quite make it this week. You'll do better next week." So it really has helped. And if you go to the Play Store and look at the comments, it really has helped a lot of people just become more aware, because ignorance is not bliss, let's be honest. Sure. Especially in your money. Ignorance is the opposite of bliss. If you want, you know, if you make that much, good for you, more power to you, let's come and help you spend it. But if you are like most humans on this planet, you kind of want to know that you're optimizing your money, and this app, Reach, helps you do so.
So you talked a bit about how you started as a savings app.
Yes.
And then you somehow pivoted into what Reach is right now.
Yes.
You know, in data informatics. Mm-hmm. Or transaction informatics, actually. So, but how did you come about that? How did you arrive at that to say, okay, this is exactly, we're just going to dump this whole savings thing and just move on to this?
So there was this idea I had in my head for how adoption would work. I just thought that like anything, if what you're doing isn't being talked about by your users, then maybe it isn't growing fast enough. And also, if you need to explain it a lot in the beginning, it might be a little hard to get the uptake. And so, you seem like you have a question, Bukola.
No, I want you to land.
Go on.
And so, with the questions of people saying, "Hey, I don't have any money left, right? So I can't save. This is why I can't save. It became a thing for us. And by the way, the way we were doing saving, unlike some current versions where you get penalized if you take your savings out, we actually let people get in and out as much as they wanted. So we didn't lock things down, which was the big difference between us and what others were doing. So I think if you lock people out and you give them that penalty, there is that incentive to stay. But we're like, it's your money. And that's like the philosophy of the company. It's your money. Do with it what you want, but at least do it informed. So when people weren't able to save and we switched over and we saw the value that they derived from knowing, like, in fact, a lot of the ads that we've put out on our Facebook and Instagram pages have all been people's actual reactions to their own transaction spending. When they first load the app, they're like, oh wow. Right, beep beep bleep. Like,
I agree, in 2017 when we first met and you introduced me to it, I remember there was a guy who realized he was spending, was it 300,000 naira or so every month on eating out.
Yeah,
you know. So and I looked at him and I said, okay,
don't judge him.
I'm not. So I then said to him, so I wonder what my own
spending will be.
Yeah. On different things.
Gerard, let's backtrack a little. Okay. So why did you decide to start this? Did you work or it was something went?
Yes. So this is going to be a kind of a long story, but I can make it very short and quick.
Please,
yes,
thank you. Super short and quick.
So for whatever reason, I remember very vividly being a 12-year-old child, thinking to myself, it would be so cool to one day have my own company and like work with my friends. Literally, that, I mean, the mind of a 12-year-old.
So how many of your friends do you work with right now?
The entire company, actually, we're pretty friendly and kind of rambunctious. But I'm like, it'd be cool to work with my friends. Like, I was like, and I will come in, I will not wear a suit, and I will like fly my shirt and wear cool t-shirts. I was 12. This was before like startups were cool little guys. Like, this is like so back then, okay? And then after business school, I knew I wanted to start a company after business school. I was not ready, and an advisor told me, listen, work for a while, and then after that, you will start a company. So I worked at Conga for 18 months after I moved back to Nigeria, and at the 18-month mark, because I also told my bosses, hey, guys, I'm going to be here for 18 months. I'll work super hard. You'll know that I was here for 18 months, and then I'll move on to something else. I actually then didn't have anything precisely that I was doing, so I spent a month after Conga sitting and thinking about what to create and what to do, and eventually this idea of building something that would help people manage their finances came up. At the time, I thought savings was the way to enter that world, but then
you thought it alone, or you thought it with some friends?
Oh, definitely had help in the thinking department. So my parents, my mom specifically, is an accountant, and coming back from the markets, this woman would literally sit down and write out everything she had spent her money on. And so it passed on to us. So her children are very aware of money. Ignorance is not bliss in your house. My mother will ask you, what did you do with your money?
So how did you fund this? I mean, you started working in Conga. You must have made a fortune in Conga. I don't know about a fortune.
Uncle.
Yeah.
But I know that I know because someone told me, they were like, oh, we haven't seen you in like 7 months. Because once I realized I was going to be leaving Conga to start a company, I started saving, which meant no going out. My dating life was kind of super dry. I ate in a lot, brought my own lunches to work. I saved and saved and saved. So the first 6 months of the company were actually funded by my savings.
You're bootstrapping.
I super bootstrapped.
Right now, what you're posting, okay, you're raising funds, or
so we raised some funds in 2017, and again, a company that talks about money management should know how to manage its money. So, you know, that's how we've been able to keep sustaining, because it will take some time before we can be profitable. Even the great Amazon is not yet profitable for various
reasons. Being thrown out there, it's a tough tip.
Well, actually, I actually did have an offer, a super beautiful, wonderful offer, including a green card waiting for me. So now all of Lagos knows my business at Amazon. And I don't know what possessed me to say, thank you, Amazon and Mr. Bezos. I will not be coming to join you in Seattle. Instead, Lagos! Right?
Yay, Lagos.
Yeah. So, no, but really, after a while living abroad, you start to feel like a kid who is at a sleepover and you've abandoned your parents. That's
how I felt. Not everybody feels
that way. But that's how I felt. I felt, you know what, if the brains that we have, mine included, can do all this really cool work outside our country. What would that look like if that work was happening inside our country? Mm. So for me, it's that desire, that inspiration that has kept me here. Even after, you know, the Naira plunged, like literally plunged the next month after I moved here.
It didn't discourage you. You didn't think, I think I'll take that.
No, because for me, it's also a calling, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm a person of faith. I believe that Jesus has me. So I'm like, okay, God, I have come. So plex. Help your brother out.
So you talked about your being friendly and your entire team. You guys are friends in there. How did you identify them? How did you find the staff? I mean, staff.
Right. It's hard.
Yeah. People talk about it a lot.
So I'm snobbish about who I work with.
Yeah, I can tell you that.
Yes. I am not like, there are certain things I'm just like,
from your requirements.
Yes. From the interview, like if, and everyone on the team already knows, like I'm sure as I'm saying this, those who are listening know what I'm talking about. There's certain things I'm just like, yeah, no. And just no. Like we're a business. If you can't speak good, like proper, like helpful business English, it means it means you don't have attention to detail. It's not that, you know, you don't want to work with people who don't sound like you, which is not the case. Tyler, I see where you're going here.
No. There's an inference here I want to draw, which is the fact that you've had experience in the corporate world,
yes,
in corporate America, in corporate Nigeria, everywhere. And you took all of that and you're trying to infuse that into your company. Aside from the dress down culture, and which a lot of them are also adopting these days, but it's not the big part. But essentially, them developing the right culture. I'm learning how to speak well, yeah, you know, etiquette when it comes to sending email conversations.
Honestly, the email thing is a big one because it's a huge one. If you can communicate clearly, you can convince people to do what you need them to do, to hear what you're saying.
So do you do a test of that?
It's the first thing you do. You do a written test.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I love that. I actually do love that. I mean, because a lot of companies these days, or a lot of startups and all of that, you know, what I found out is that they relax a lot of the rules, what we call rules from the corporate world, just to be able to say you want to get in talent. It's not enough to have the technical skills or the technical know-how.
That's right.
You need to have the softer skills, which communication is
intelligence and communication.
You know, when it comes to that. And I really, really love that about what you're doing in there.
And also it makes, like, the people in the team, they are, you know, they're happy, grateful that their teammates are inspiring them, pushing them,
right,
lifting the standards for them. That, you know, shit work, can I say that on the radio?
No, you can't.
Okay, crappy work won't be accepted by your teammates. Okay, there.
Bleep. Okay, so, I love your enthusiasm, love your passion. Is it safe to assume you've had no challenges?
Uh-uh.
Because, hey, you've been talking to us.
No. So, we've had quite a few. Let's see. One of the first ones would be, obviously, finding this team took a while, right?
What's the size of the team, by the way?
10.
Okay.
Finding the team took a while, right? Just, if you have standards that are that high, it might take you a while to find great people.
Okay.
So it took a while. And partly why we kind of like slowly ramped up to where
finding
we
the right team, building the right team was one of your challenges.
Yes.
Okay.
Secondly, I would say, even for me, learning how to communicate what we're doing, because I had to teach myself about, because it's when you're doing a startup that doesn't really look like something that exists somewhere else, it's hard to explain it to people who don't understand what you're doing. First of all, yourself. So I think it took a while just to like understand, hey, this thing you're doing is beyond expense tracking. It is helping people understand the whole ecosystem around their transactions, and that's what transaction informatics is.
So what I want to understand now is you're helping people. There's an app.
Yes, there is an app, by the way. Anyone who's listening, go to the Play Store, check out Reach, REACH, Expense and Money Manager, and you will download it and it'll do what it does. She, Nikki, our chatbot, will love you into the app, and then you'll be great like everybody else who uses the app. And we make money a few ways. One, we have a partnership with some banks to offer loans to people, and so we make a little bit of money off of that.
All right.
Two, we have a partnership with investment houses to help you save and earn interest on your savings. And one thing, we have actually the highest interest rate out there because we don't cut out of your interest earnings. We share interest with
the prince, the bank.
Yeah, the partner. So that gives you more money in the investment house. Okay. That gives you more money in your pocket. That's two. Three, we help businesses understand what's happening in the economy. So we recently put out a report that shows what is happening, comparing Kenyans and Nigerians and how they spend. So reports like that actually help businesses know how much to invest, what to expect from the year. These are very important things. If we want more money to come into our continent, we need more information to be out there. So that's part of how we also generate our
So money. We're going on a break now. When we come back, we'll talk a bit about the reports and a few other areas with GR.
And it is a motivational Monday, so don't give up. You can get it if you really try. Business Afar here on Classic FM 97.3. You have JR and Taiwo in the studio and talking about something interesting again today.
Welcome back, Lagos. This is still the Business Afar powered by Naira Metrics. We still have JR in the studio and we're going into the second half of the show. So do you have any competition?
Everything that tries to distract you from managing your transactions is competition, or anything else that is doing so. So I would say, yes, there's a lot of competition.
So within the transaction informatics space or within the savings or the investment space?
There are many really great people doing awesome work in this space. Just like there are many great brands that provide the services, I wouldn't call them, they're part of the ecosystem, I would say.
Do you feel threatened by them?
Not really, actually. So I'm actually grateful that we have, because it's also a signal to the larger marketplace, to investors, that something is worthwhile that is happening here. If we were the only ones in this space, that would be a problem. So I don't think anyone should actually be happy to be the only one in, you know, his or her space if it's an early industry and there's no, like, you are not a kingpin, you are not a monopolistic giant. No, you are a loner in something that might not actually be worthwhile. So you should worry.
So I need you to take a sneak peek into what your future would look like in 10 years for Reach. Can you just give us a one-liner? Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
So one, I see us being outside. We are already outside Nigeria. So looking at, we're in Kenya and Ghana already. But I would love for us to be across Africa naturally. Like that, like big dream of mine is that we are in French-speaking Africa. We are in Lusophone Africa as well, you know, Portuguese-speaking Africa. Like, just like, let there be this really cool Nigerian company, like, you know, everywhere. A big great, just like everywhere. That for me would be a big deal.
But it's an app. So, I mean, could you explain a bit better why you say you're in those countries?
It's an app, but like, guys, we live our lives on apps now, right? Mm-hmm. So, yes, it's an app, but it's a business that is, how do I put it?
You know, you talk about banks, you know, having some connections with banks and stuff.
Yeah,
like
so
that.
Like,
so you want to have that in every
country. I want to be able to offer the same services we have in Nigeria, whether it's lending, whether it's investing, whether it's deals with your various merchants. I want us to be able to do that in every country.
But what if they don't need those additional services? What if they need other services?
People always want to save money, Taiwo. I'm very confident. In the
hey,
fact
you're
that
you're the data. You're the transaction informatics guy.
Want
hey,
to save money.
What's been your light bulb moment since you started the business?
Light bulb moment. Kai. Light bulb. So I think you, as an entrepreneur, it is always shocking, but very gratifying when someone you have never met says, oh, I know that product. I use it. Thank you for making it. So on Friday, one of our users in Kenya reached out on LinkedIn, found me on LinkedIn, reached out on LinkedIn, wanted to have a call. So we did have a call and it was like, listen, this has saved me so much. I'm married with two kids and it's so good to know what I've been doing with my money. I've been telling all my friends about it. I have all these ideas for how you guys should come to Kenya and do more things in Kenya. Thankfully, we were already doing this. But like, that is the enthusiasm that someone who I don't even know, like that for me is a, maybe not a light bulb, but like goosebump moment, right? Where you're like, wow, this thing that we're doing in this little office in Lagos,
it's
Nigeria.
Far-reaching.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it has real impact is what you're saying.
Yes.
So is JR the one and only founder, or do you have co-founders for the company? How'd you find them? Are you looking for co-founders?
So I consider everyone who is working on this project with me a founder. I think in their own rights, I think they also feel like founders, right? Like this is what we have built together. Mm-hmm. We are in this journey together. If it fails, we fail together. If it succeeds, we succeed together. I think there's a very different... they aren't just working to collect a paycheck and leave. right? At least thankfully
that's
like a team.
Part of this.
Yeah. I mean, because I know for a fact that there are people on my team who have been approached by larger, better paying companies, and they've said no.
All right, there's a question.
So
here
can I apply now?
There's a question from Tai. She says, "Hi guys, good morning. I'm listening to your program now. What's the name of the app your guest mentioned?"
Hi Tai. The app is Reach. R-E-A-C-H. Check it. It's only on Android. So those of you that use iOS devices, unfortunately, you are such a small fraction of the population that for right now, we're not really focusing on you, but we'll get there one day. But if you have an Android device, it's R-E-A-C-H, Reach, on the Google Play Store.
All right. So, Tai, I hope you heard that.
Okay. Nigeria versus Kenya. Airtime is life. Cashless Kenya. Women disenfranchised. Categories to watch. These are some of the highlights of them. So when you talk about airtime is life, is it in comparison to both?
Yes. So in both countries, airtime is life. As in every, almost like airtime is the top transaction in both countries. This tells you just how digital our lives are. If you don't have airtime, you are disconnected from the world, right? You can't make phone calls. You can't access the internet. So it is oxygen, right? Even I think the UN has even made access to data a basic human right. I might be overstating how important they made it, but I think something like that has come out.
So one in five transactions by Urban Nigerian Millennials surveyed is an ATM withdrawal.
Yeah.
And in Kenya,
you don't even see cash
as much as possible, as much as you see.
So this M-Pesa thing really did a lot for them, right? It's like the ability, because even when I visited Kenya, I wanted to pay for my coffee. I brought that card. So they looked at me like, Uncle Plex, what is that? You know, like, so I had to find someone who had M-Pesa to pay for me so I could then go get cash from an ATM somewhere to pay back. Like, this is how, that's what the system looks like in a different country. So I think that's where we're headed. We might get there a little slower than they've done, but we are getting to a place where transacting with cash will be less common, right? Because people will just be able to, like, pay with all these new different payment options.
Contrary to what we see in movies like from Nollywood and a lot of things, that women spend a lot. Here it says 70% of the buying power is still controlled by men.
That was actually a shocking one for us, right? Because as much as you want to believe, and we all want to believe because it's funny maybe, but like whose money is being spent? Whose card is being swiped? Who is still paying for things when you go out? Like, I think for us, we just hope that in the millennial generation, maybe it'd be a little different. That, you know, there just was more power in the female buyer. But apparently, it's still just 30% of the population. So ladies, get out there.
So this is still the millennial population, not even the general population.
So guys, our general population on this continent is millennial. If you haven't heard, 80% of us are under the age of 80.
Hey, just clarifying.
Sorry, under the age of 40.
Yeah. Really?
It's a very young continent you live in, though.
So, categories to watch: betting, borrowing, P2P transfers, that's person-to-person transfers. You're saying these will displace the ATM transactions ultimately.
I mean, think about it already, right? Like, even right now, before you think, let me go find cash, you're like, can I just transfer? How many times have you said that?
Honestly, I do that a lot. Uh-huh. And I think the bank is making a killing off me, man, for that. Patrick Omitoki says, Bukola, can you ask your guest if fund invested in their firm is insured and what's their interest rate? Can he provide also for their website?
Okay, so one, it is insured because it is actually backed by the SEC, so via AXA Mansard. That is, so the partnership is with AXA Mansard, okay? And so it is insured via the but let me give you the current, the prevailing interest rate is what I'm pulling up right now. So is that, what's her name?
Patrick.
Oh, sorry,
Patrick.
His name, Patrick. Hi, Patrick. The current rate is 15.29%, which, by the way, it jumped like crazy in the last week. So, bros, hurry right now and put your money to work for you, bruh. Mm-hmm. And the name of the website is www.reach.africa. www.reach.africa. You can drop the www. R-E-A-C-H. dot A-F-R-I-C-A, reach.africa.
All right.
How do you market your business and your products? It can't be easy. I mean, number one, it's an app that, well, maybe until recently when you added additional features to it, then it was just basically pull your data and help you analyze that. Mm-hmm. So how do you market it? How do you sell? And do you have a corporate side to your business as well?
So let me start with the first question. How do we market it? Our users are our biggest evangelists because they bring their friends. We routinely hear, oh, I've told everybody in my office about this app, routinely. So they bring their friends. And we like our social media presence is hopefully quirky and fun enough that people like latch onto it. And we've seen some of our apps have like large, you know, likes and followings and things. Sorry, our ads have likes and followings. So that's how we do it. We're like, guys, we are a small but mighty house. Okay. We do what we do really efficiently. And then the other question you asked.
Do you have a corporate side? Do you provide services to the corporates?
We do. So that's, remember when I said there's the B2B business, which is helping businesses understand how to market better to individuals.
Okay.
So that's where, so reports like what I've just described, that comes up where you look at the market. What is the marketplace saying? We have this product that helps businesses know, how should I invest in maybe in clothing versus in grocery? Like, is retail going up or down? There's also a recent article that went out some weeks ago. I don't know if I shared it with you, but I'll share that out. But it shows how consumer spending in Nigeria.
That's the one you did on LinkedIn.
How consumer spending has dropped 37% in the last. So if you feel that your money has been like not as powerful in the last 3 years, it's because your money's value has dropped by like lots of percentage points. Bella.
All right.
So how many downloads do you have in the store?
Over 60,000.
Brilliant. And one word for any aspiring entrepreneur out there, what'd you say to them?
One word.
Okay, one line.
Thank you. First of all, don't do it. If you have a sweet paying job and it's making you happy and sane, don't go and quit it. Unless you are joining the crazy ones, because this is not for the faint of heart at all.
It's not child's play.
No.
So do you have social media handles where...
Yes. On everything, we are at FindReach. On Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, everything at FindReach. So Facebook.com/FindReach, Twitter.com/FindReach, Instagram.com/FindReach.
So at FindReach for Twitter, at FindReach for... Instagram.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Lagos. This has been Business Half Hour, powered by Niometrics. Thank you, JR, for coming. Nicola, that's our show for today.
Thank you very much, guys. Enjoy the rest of your day.